changer. Home run. I've read a few other sports analogies when it comes to talking about some of the provisions that were included in the recently passed state budget. So joining me for today's podcast is a repeat guest of the show. It is Luke Bernstein. He is the president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. Luke, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Am I like the first repeat guest on the podcast? This is exciting. This is rare. I feel this is an exceptional day. I'm very excited to be
here.
Well,
this is an exceptionally important issue to discuss and get out there for all of our listeners. And we had you on the program, I think it was last May, to talk about an issue that you were hearing about and continue to hear about from your members on a daily basis. And it is an issue that I also hear a tremendous about. Employers, businesses, farmers, municipalities, school districts, you name it, back home in Southern New York County. And that is Pennsylvania's notoriously slow and sluggish permitting system. And Luke, to your credit, since you came to the Pennsylvania Chamber, you have been laser focused on improving our state's business climate. So we worked together to chart a path forward, and we finally got it done through the SPEED program. It was included, as I noted, in this year's state budget. And you recently wrote an op-ed that appeared in Broad and Liberty, I think it was just a few days ago, and you wrote, by making the permitting process more efficient and transparent, Pennsylvania is signaling that it's open for business and ready to encourage new investments. I think it's about reversing a lot of trends that we have experienced in Pennsylvania, including outmigration, not just outmigration of businesses, outmigration of our next generation. Huge challenge for us. So thank you for being the biggest champion along with me and Senator Rothman in getting this done.
Well, no, thank you. You know, this does not happen without your consistent leadership. And we talk a lot about Pennsylvania and our challenges, but we need to talk about Pennsylvania and our opportunities. And our challenges have consistently got in the way of our state achieving its true potential. And one of those huge challenges has been permitting. And because of you and your efforts in writing a bill, getting it through committee, moving it and positioning it within the budget. That was a bill that you authored that passed the Senate, that sat in the House for over a year. And because of your efforts and others, we did not let that die. Passed a version of the bill and got it through. This is really important. And you talked a lot about there about the perception. I have a great story for you when it comes to perception and reality. Because I think right now the perception of Pennsylvania is we are not business friendly. I recently heard a story from the president of West Virginia University. Forgive me for bringing up West Virginia at all on our podcast.
This is Pennsylvania. I just would like to remind you.
But he told me this story that put so much in context and perception reality. He said he was previously the president of Colorado, Ohio State, Brown, Vanderbilt, Ohio State, and now West Virginia again. And he said when he was at Brown, he got a call from U.S. News and World Report, and they said they started ranking law schools again, and they want to congratulate Brown on being in the top 10 ranked law schools in the country. Quite an accomplishment. And he called them back, and he said, I fail. I am very sad to tell you this, but Brown does not have a law school. And it just goes to show that the perception is not always the case in reality. But in Pennsylvania, the perception is it is very difficult to get a permit. And the reality has been, it has been very difficult to get a permit. And so we have two challenges. Number one, we need to change the perception, but you can't do that without changing, in this case, the reality. So what you've done in moving forward this bill, it's starting to break down those barriers and allowing permitting to move forward in a more effective manner so Pennsylvania can become more competitive as we move into the future.
I love that. You know, we can measure all sorts of things on how we do as a state We can compare ourselves to other states, our GDP, our budget situation, including our tax climate. One of my colleagues said that the best measuring stick that we can use is the number of congressional seats that we have following the census that occurs every 10 years. So giving listeners a reference point, at one point, Pennsylvania had 36 congressional seats, and that was following the 1910 census.
Yep.
Today, we are down to 17. Two states that we always love to compare ourselves to, Texas and Florida. So how do we stack up? So following the 1910 census, Texas had 18 congressional seats. Florida had four.
Yeah.
Today, Texas has 38 and Florida has 28 congressional seats. Now, I would like to believe it had to do something with beautiful weather and the advent of air conditioning, right? But in a century, Texas gained 20 congressional seats, Florida gained 24, and Pennsylvania has lost 19. So our challenges didn't occur overnight. So how we're going to get out of those challenges aren't going to happen overnight. It's not going to be instantaneous, as much as we would all like to.
That's right.
Because I think you and I believe in the promise of Pennsylvania, and we have great hope for good people making sound policy decisions that are going to yield tremendous opportunity for everyone here in Pennsylvania.
You're exactly right. And I think I go back to something you just said. This, unfortunately, will not happen overnight. And so when I look at it, I look at the, and we talk about that promise of Pennsylvania. There is, when you take Pennsylvania, all of the things that you can change to make Pennsylvania better, it's really policy, our own policy that's holding us back. All of the things that we have as advantages that other states would kill for that we can't change are huge advantages. Our higher education sector and educational system here, our natural resources with energy and water, our healthcare system is second to none in the world. Our infrastructure, while aged, it is very advanced, much more so than other states. You go right down the list of all the things here that we have as incredible opportunities. I would take that over Texas and Florida any day. They might have warmer weather and some beaches, but in as we look moving forward, I talk to a lot of site selection folks. They talk about regulatory climate when it comes to different factors in their state. They talk about what our tax structure is. Two things that they really focus on right now is, what is your energy supply? Do you have a consistent, reliable, affordable, accessible energy source for different projects? And what is your workforce like? What is your educated workforce like? All of the things that we have as our advantages in Pennsylvania can position us to be a dominant, major economic force into the new economy, into the new future. So right now, unfortunately, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. But things like in this year's budget, what we did in this year's budget through your leadership and others was remove really big obstacles that started the site selection conversation. Well, your CNI was 9.99. We made huge gains to reverse that. Well, you have a stagnant, outdated permitting process. We're taking huge gains to deal with that. So these are pieces that position us and address that policy, because Pennsylvania has an incredible opportunity into the next economy. And we are the most diverse economy in the country. Sometimes that can be a negative because we don't have the high ups or the high downs. But to me, that's a positive because we don't have that. So we can support different industries, we can support different sectors, and we can pick targeted ones that we can grow here in Pennsylvania, like aerospace and innovation aerospace, which is, we had the students from your school district come here and
amazing.
Others. Incredible.
Right?
And what they're doing, it's just remarkable.
Completely agree. What a pool of talent for any aerospace engineering firm. It's absolutely incredible. In Spring Grove, we have students who are on rocketry teams, and our middle school rocketry team competed against collegiate teams and placed fourth in the nation. Talk about an incredible talent pool that you would have coming here to Pennsylvania.
So right here, you talk about the future and how important satellites and aerospace. And when we look at innovation right here in Spring Grove, you have people forging a new frontier. So couple that with a Lockheed Martin, with a Boeing, with an Astrobotic. These are all really important. This is an important sector of our economy, but it is local. And then couple that with the downstream suppliers that are part of that. So Pennsylvania has not only a history of aerospace and innovation, but you go beyond. Many people don't know GPS was actually created in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, in King of Prussia, with Lockheed Martin. That's where GPS was first created. And you Astrobotic, the first private sector, you know, mission that went up into space. There are all these different initiatives that are groundbreaking, but that is why I think these are really great examples, but it underscores the promise of what we have in the state.
Absolutely. And you know, these challenges, as you've noted, they've been going on for quite some time. When we last had you on here, I told you that real life story about a former constituent that I used to represent. He builds hotels. He could build, site, permit, open a hotel in West Virginia faster than he could obtain the necessary permits to put just a shovel into the dirt right here in Pennsylvania. And for me, it was his story that was that rallying cry, because I know he is not alone. And I talked to colleagues from all over the Commonwealth. You know, one of the things that we really need in this age is chips. We don't manufacture a lot of chips here in the United States, let alone in Pennsylvania. My colleague from Montgomery County, Senator Pennycook, is trying to bring a chip company from Asia here to Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. And they brought up the challenges with our permitting system. So to be able to say to her, look, you can go back to them and say, those permits that they're going to need to build a facility here, to make those chips here in the United States, in Pennsylvania, it's going to be better than the last time that we talked. That's so powerful. You know, so that story for her was a rallying cry. For me, it was this hotelier. His business is extremely reputable. He makes a tremendous positive impact wherever he does business. And once I heard from him, I also heard from manufacturers. York County is a major manufacturing hub. And you can just go on and on about all the really incredible things that we make in York County. We make things happen in York. So I started to hear that same thing over and over and over again. We want to expand here, but the permitting process is too restrictive. We could open a new facility in another state much faster. I don't want to lose you to North Carolina, Texas, Florida, or good grief, I even had one that said, maybe we'll go back to New Jersey. Right? That's insane. So that is where this newly created SPEED program, which stands for Streamlining Permits for Economic Expansion and Development, really comes into play. The bill was signed into law in July. Several effective dates of this new statute are beginning to take effect. And so the bill takes the biggest environmental permits.
102, 105. So largely when you think about it, it takes a lot of the dam safety permits out, the air quality permits, which has been a huge delay in some projects. You know, you talk about projects in Allegheny County, the permit example we talk about all the time with U.S. Steel, where they went to Arkansas instead of Southwest. Air permits were a huge part of that calculation. That's included in this. And surface obstruction. So when you think about different well drilling, when you think for water, when you think about any type of surface obstruction that you would have, that's a big part of it. And you know, the other factor is when we're looking at all of these, if you have a creek or any water obstruction waterway that's going through, it requires a significant level of expertise. And sometimes in this environment, we're all faced with this work shortage right now, and DEP has not been immune to that. So not only does it allow for this third-party review, it really allows to augment DEP's staff to provide more resources for the department And it's not taking away, this is the great part about this, it's not moving, changing, skirting environmental regulations. If anything, it's bolstering them, because you have more experts with eyes on this to get through the system and get through it faster. So that's the great part about it. It can streamline, augment the staff, we can protect our environment, but we can get these jobs moving, which, yes, it's a big job, but it is a real job to someone in your district and all over Pennsylvania who's counting on this for their family. And so when they're sitting at home and they're not working and these jobs aren't moving, our economy's not moving, they're not helping our communities, and this allows the system to move much faster and protect our environment. That's what your bill did, and it opens this up. So this is really exciting. I think you hear our passion for this, because when you talk to someone that has dedicated their entire life to a project or to make the community better, only to have a permit go to DEP or somewhere else and just sit there. And sometimes it's not even their fault. It could be the technology. It could be they just have so many applications sitting there in paper form. This now opens up so much more transparency. It opens up a new platform and system. So hopefully we can build on this success and really solve the problem that we've been plagued with for so long here in the state.
And it's DEP. And it's our county conservation districts, yep, because they're two of, yep, the biggest complaints that I hear about when it comes to permitting delays and roadblocks. And, you know, always try and make analogies for people to understand. I think you explained it so well, but I usually equate it to a similar process that you would need a U.S. passport from the Department of State in a timely fashion. So you can either go through that normal process, which can take quite a while, or you can pay to have your passport application, yep, expedited. So we're giving that option of an expedited passport, in this case, an expedited permit, to those permit applicants.
And it's fully paid for by the private sector. So if you're the applicant, you would actually have to pay for it. So really what it does is it moves everyone forward. So if you're paying to have someone do a third party review, that takes it out of the DEP ranks. You have the third party review. So if you didn't pay for that and you applied and you weren't asking for an expedited review, you get an expedited review, because now one permit that might have been ahead of yours or even on a list goes elsewhere to be reviewed. So it actually moves the whole process faster.
It even moves the process for other state departments and agencies, because,
absolutely,
even PennDOT has to apply to DEP for permits in order,
yeah,
to do road work. The,
absolutely,
irony, right? So next month.
And PennDOT has, in a sense, a third party review in many cases right now with road projects. And I would say for consumers, we all get our car inspected by third party reviewers every day at garages. You go in, you get your car inspected. If your wheels fall off when you drive out of the garage after you get your inspection sticker, there's a system in place to protect you as a consumer to do that. Same way, there can be third party review. DEP actually stamps it and says it's good because they review it. So it's a great step forward over, and it clears one more hurdle that has been part of that perception, but unfortunately part of that reality.
Well, and DEP is going to roll out its list of third-party entities that have cleared all the necessary checks to do that work, to expedite these permits through that vetting process. That's going to happen next month. So this program will only be as successful as the third-party reviewers who sign up to participate in the SPEED program. You have a great team over at the Chamber. They are out there. They are educating people about the program. They are encouraging individuals to become permit reviewers, to apply to be part of that third-party review process. So how has that process been going? And what has been the response from both those people who could get into that permit review lane, or just the job creators and businesses across the Commonwealth?
Well, I'm going to use an example that's a little sore with me as an Eagles fan. We had an incredible play call on a 3rd and 3, and Saquon Barkley dropped the ball. So I use that example because you could have the greatest play call, but you still have to execute it. So even with a great and a solid piece of legislation, it has to be executed very well and implemented by DEP. So to your question, we have been engaging with DEP. They are currently working through all the different parameters to implement this law. There has been, I think, great excitement from third-party reviewers to get involved in the system because it moves their projects and other projects faster too when you think about it. So if you're an engineering firm, you're working on a multitude of projects. So you want these projects to move faster. You have a vested interest in doing a really good job because if you don't do a really good job, DEP is not going to pick you next time. And if you're in the small area. So this is a real opportunity for people to work together, sit back, understand the process. It will roll out. Is it going to be perfect right out of the gate? I don't think any piece of legislation through its implementation has ever been perfect through the rollout. But DEP is about to come out next month in October with their full parameters. So when that happens, everyone, us, others, will take a look at that. We had DEP into our office last week with almost 150, 200 people, you know, in total that were just listening for an update, just saying, hey, here it comes. Here's some of the timelines. Here's what you should be thinking through. And so when they come out with all the parameters, I think you're going to see great interest into the program. I think you're going to have a lot of private sector companies say, we want to be part of the solution to help fix this. And so it's exciting. I think you'll have a lot of people ready to go.
That's fantastic. And then in a few short months, after we get that third party review system in place, the online tracking system is going to go live for all of the permits. So applicants will be able to track their permit from start to finish. I think when the acting secretary was before the Appropriations Committee, she referred to it as the TurboTax method of tracking. Whatever your analogy, whether it's TurboTax or DoorDash or Uber Eats or Amazon, it's going to be transparent. It's going to be monitored from start to finish. So providing that date certain plus enhanced transparency in what has been known in the past as sluggish, opaque, that process, I guess we could borrow your phrase and say it will be a game changer.
It will. You know, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Transparency, when you can see things clearly, it puts everything into a sharper lens and focus where you can actually see and track things. You know, I talk about my example is if I order pizza and I order it from DoorDash, Uber Eats, wherever we talk about up here, I can track that from who's making it, when it leaves the pizza shop to when it gets to my front door. And on a Sunday, our family growing up, we had a family motto, when in doubt, eat. So I'm ready for that pizza to get there. I want that pizza to get there. But imagine if you had that permit and there were livelihoods waiting on the other end of that. This allows companies to track their permit from real process. If I can track a $15 pizza order, I should be able to track a $15 million permit in Pennsylvania. And so that's the exciting part about this. The system at DEP has not been changed, the technological platform, since the 90s. This is an incredible opportunity to put a new platform in place, to have more transparency as part of the process. And let's be honest, think about our technology movement. That was the invention of the internet. Things have evolved. You know, it's so this is an opportunity for us to really, I think, improve the way we do things, come into the 21st century, but it's exciting. It's really easy to go back and say things stunk and it wasn't the right way. It's much more productive to look and say, how can we make this better? Your bill did that. It would have been really easy to just sit back and say, yeah, we're gonna throw up our hands. Pennsylvania's gonna be here in 100 years. We can't give up. We've gotta make the state more competitive. And I think we have all the tools to do it. Things like this are a game changer in how we can make the state more competitive.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I have said this on multiple occasions. Governor is not going to be the governor forever. Legislators like myself who are here today, we're not going to be here forever. But if we can permanently fix this process, Pennsylvania can be forever competitive and successful. And I think that's what we all want. You know, when you would borrow something as a kid, when I would borrow something as a kid, my mother would say, you return it in better condition than you got it. And so I think that's one of the things that we need to do as legislators and as leaders.
Isn't that often lost in today's society? You know, I remember when I was a kid, similar to you, if I would borrow a car, even my parents, which wasn't often because they were pretty tight. I was the youngest of four. If anyone was not getting a car, it was the youngest of four. But when I returned that car, if it was not clean, if it did not have a full tank of gas, when I didn't have a lot of money, I heard about it from my parents. That's Absolutely. Not how you treat something. When you are put in a role like yours, it is so refreshing to hear you say the importance of how we can make this place better so when the next generation takes that baton. It's the same way I feel. We have, you know, when I come into my office every day, there's a number one on the whiteboard. How do we make Pennsylvania the most competitive state in the country to do business? And that's what we're focused on. And it's an important thing for us because it's not about a whiteboard. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's how we can create better opportunities than we had. So we don't have this outward migration, circling back to that.
Absolutely.
We keep people here. It's a good place that people want to be here.
Absolutely.
And raise their families.
I agree, which is the perfect segue because this was not the only win for job creators and employees in Pennsylvania. There were also a few other wins. Can you walk us through some of the other victories in the budget?
Sure. The big one is, again, people hear permanent, you don't think it's that sexy, but it leads to a lot of jobs. It leads to real economic opportunities. Another one is on the tax structure. Pennsylvania ranked 49th out of 50 in terms of our corporate net income tax. The only state that was worse than us was New Jersey. Four states don't have a CNI at all, Texas being one. You talked about Ohio. So we're competing in this environment against everyone. Another real outlier for us was the net operating losses. So of the 44 states that don't have a CNI, obviously they don't have net operating losses where if they make or invest money and they have losses for a number of years, they can't write those losses off of future gains at a certain point. So what I mean when I say that is the federal government allows you to write off 80% of those losses forever for a business through the federal tax structure. There are many states that are completely uncapped. So more than 20 are completely uncapped. There are 18 states that allow you to go to the federal threshold of 80. There are two states that are underneath that threshold, New Hampshire, which actually lets you go to 10 million. So you'd have to be a really large company or corporation to have a $10 million tax obligation to write off. And then what I would say, who was dead last, Pennsylvania, which caps net operating losses at 40%. Really simply, if you invested $1 million into, you know, your business and you're growing here, you put a new place, that would be capped because you'd lose money the first couple of years. So if you lost $1 million, you could only write off $400,000 against future earnings. It was a giant stop sign to new companies, startups, or existing companies that were thinking, do I expand here or North Carolina, here or Georgia, here or Ohio? So what this bill did through your support, and the author of this bill was State Senator Greg Rothman, colleague of yours, it increased the net operating losses. Now, it doesn't go backwards, but it does go forward from 40 to 80% over 4 years. And what it does is it's a signal. We talked about aerospace earlier. If I'm an aerospace company and I'm going to invest $1 billion in my next project, will I do it in Pennsylvania with permitting? That's a challenge where I can only write off up to 40% of my losses. Or will I do it where there's no CNI in Ohio, where you don't have that problem? Will I do it in North Carolina, where the CNI is 2.25 and I could write off more? In New Jersey, when you have an unlimited CNI or unlimited NOL cap, it's a different tax structure. So what we've done is we've eliminated that huge burden so we can say to these companies, and it's not only just for large companies, it's for every company that's a CNI taxpayer. People think CNI, these are huge, these C-Corps are huge companies. More than 70% of companies in Pennsylvania that are C-Corps have 20 or fewer employees. So this, again, goes part of that game changer because we're eliminating huge barriers. Once we get through these barriers, we got to now really make Pennsylvania more competitive. We're removing barriers, but we got to keep moving. So this is exciting stuff. We've also done things in an investment of career technical education and other areas. There's no silver bullet to solving the workforce, but I think the reality is we're in a divided government. You hear the governor talk all the time, we're the only divided full-time legislature in the country. The reality is, because of these gains that you and your colleagues did here in the Senate, it's cutting through a divided government and it's making Pennsylvania more competitive. So I am greatly appreciative. The business community is greatly appreciative of what you've done, because we need to be more competitive. Competitiveness stems the tide of losing population. And we can't just throw our hands up and say we accept that, because it's not acceptable to accept a outward migration of people and workers in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. And I think that all of this really creates real opportunity. So we have a workforce, as you noted, second to none. We have an abundance of low-cost energy generated right here.
Yep.
World-class educational institutions. And now we have several reforms that are going into motion that are going to cut that red tape that hampers job growth and innovation. And we're going to roll the red carpet out to opportunity here in Pennsylvania instead of that red carpet out to other states for our next generation.
And red tape was manufactured where?
Manufactured in York, Pennsylvania.
And so we're generally in favor of increasing manufacturing all over, but increasing more red tape manufacturing is not the type of, you know, reforms and regulatory environment we want in Pennsylvania. So that's what we've got to get. We've got to cut to the core of that.
No doubt. So the pieces are in place. Could this be the great Pennsylvania comeback?
I hope so. And you said this really effectively earlier. This is not going to happen overnight. And that is very true. And so there is no magic bullet in anything we do. There's no magic bullet to the permitting structure that we have. There's no magic bullet to our tax reform. There's no magic bullet for workforce. It has to be a long-term strategic vision. And I'm hopeful that this is the start of what can really turn Pennsylvania around.
Couldn't agree with you more. I believe in the promise of Pennsylvania. I believe in the people of Pennsylvania. And I'm excited at the future and the opportunity that's being created through these very important changes. So Luke, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can listeners go to find out more about the work of the state's Chamber of Business and Industry?
www.pachamber.org. We have an incredible organization. Our strength is our members. We have 10,000 members statewide of businesses of all size and all sectors, all areas of the Commonwealth. And our strength is also in our team. I learned very early on in my life that you surround yourself by people that are smarter and more talented than you, and I've done that. Our team at the Chamber is phenomenal, and they work really hard every day to make business more competitive in Pennsylvania.
Well, we are grateful for that. Thank you again. And today's guest was
Thank
Luke
you.
Bernstein. He is the president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. Thank you again for tuning in to today's episode. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to visit my website at senatorkristen.com. This is Kristen Phillips Hill signing off, and we will look forward to talking to you again soon.